hour number three, Sightings on the Radio. I'm Jeff Rentz, here with you 6 nights a week, 3 hours a night, coast to coast and on the internet around the world, live. Hello to everyone in Oz and elsewhere. And we are talking with Joseph Gildenite about many things, spiritual, symbologically, and geologically. And we have phone calls and so forth. I think Jim is on the line now from Little Rock, listening on KSYG, The Signal. Hello, is that Jim?
Yes. Hello, Jeff.
Hi.
I have a question about symbols.
Sure.
Earlier in my life, one of the key persons was a linguist, wrote about language. One of the things that he specifically said about symbols was that you could tell from the symmetry whether it was a symmetrical along a vertical axis or symmetrical along a horizontal axis, whether or not they were rooted in symbols from the Sons of Belial or from the Law of One in Atlantis. I wanted to find out if your guest could make any statement about that.
Okay.
Who's the fellow that you're quoting?
I doubt that you heard of him. His name was James Hadley.
Hadley?
Hadley, H-A-T-L-E-Y.
Did he write a book?
Yeah, he wrote several books, but my contact with him was on a personal basis.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, the James Churchward, I would recommend that you might want to read his books, which are all in reprint now, that talk about the origin of language symbolisms. And basically, I see in language, the Greeks rooted language and number into the same, along with the Hebrews. And both those languages come from Phoenician. Phoenician is the very oldest language in the West. And from that came Greek and Latin. And I see in the Phoenician letters the phallus and the sun. You know, of course, the Phoenicians were sailors, right? So they looked up at the stars all the time by night, and they looked up at the sun all day by day. And so those were what they followed, and that's what was rooted in their language. And the Phoenician language is worldwide in its roots, because that's where they traveled worldwide. So that's my input into it.
Okay.
Did you get that, Jim?
Were you saying that the symbols in their language were symmetrical one way or another?
Well, you know, in the first place, symbols last longest when they are duplicating something close in nature. And everything in nature, by its element, is symmetrical, whether it's crystals, whether it's people, whether it's whether it's trees or birds, we're all symmetrical in balance, and nature is balance. So I would say that the symmetry is something that is in everything that is natural, and languages and letters and symbols are reflective of nature. So they do have a natural symmetry to them. Do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay. Thanks, Jim.
For further reading, I'd suggest James Churchward. They're available anywhere. He did a whole lot of stuff on that.
James Churchward?
Yeah.
Okay. We need to turn Joseph up a little louder if you can, Don.
You know, I want to get... Can I just change the subject for just one comment?
Sure.
I get the Harvard Magazine regularly, and I had sort of a stunning revelation not too long ago. I was reading an article in the Harvard Magazine about the number of people in prisons.
Oh, it's at an all-time high in this country.
Well,
you
know, let me just tell you this, that it's nothing new for anybody, you know, that's your listeners, but it is amazing to hear the figures. Of all the countries of the world, the second highest country per capita with numbers of people in prison is Britain. And Britain has 70 people per 100,000. It's much higher than China, much higher than Russia, much higher than
That's a real surprise.
Yeah, so it's 70 people per 100,000 is the second highest in the world. And who is the highest?
Well, we are.
I love the way you say that, like it's so proud. You know, that's the way everybody, I've telling you, I've told 300 people about this.
Nobody's going to beat an American at anything.
Why should we be the highest prison nation in the world? So the second highest is Britain with 70 people per 100,000. How many would you think are in the United States per 100,000?
I don't know, but it's
700.
700? That's
and
10
you
times.
You can get that right off the web from the U.S. Justice
10 Department. Times more than the second place.
No, it's 10
contestant.
Times higher than the second highest in all
That's
the
right.
world.
That's right.
Now, we're running around telling the world
how to act,
how to be a better steward of the land
we have,
and more human rights.
We have the moral truth here.
We're the worst example in the entire world. And there are 50 states in the United States, and who do you think has the highest?
I have
Hawaii.
To think about that. Oh, come on, really?
Hawaii has the highest number of people in prisons per capita. And of the number of islands over in, here in Hawaii, who has the highest prison rate in the entire world? The Big Island.
Really?
Because some people are growing marijuana over here.
Yeah.
And of 80% of the people that are in prison or in the United States are in prison for some drug crime. You know, it's just like prohibition, right? And of that 80% of the people that are in prison in the United States, 80% of those are in for growing marijuana, which was the largest crop in the world for over 2,000 years. And it fulfilled all of our needs, everywhere from clothing to building,
well,
vitamins,
they made rope
food.
With it, rope, which and, tied all the everything together.
Yeah. It was the gift from God. It's the manna from heaven. Now I don't smoke the stuff, but I think that it's everybody's right to be able to smoke a weed if it grows in your yard.
So let me recap. Of the 1.1 or 1.2 million people in prison in the United States, 80% are in prison for drug offenses. 80% of those in prison for growing marijuana, approximately.
Are in there for marijuana charges, yeah, and which is a totally natural product. It's what we call a weed or local weed, and it used to be illegal in Japan and China to export hemp, which is the same thing, hemp seeds,
right?
Because it was held as a national treasure. So this is an extremely good example for how your listeners can help to improve the world. It's called self-realization, standing up, throwing all these old belief systems aside. And when they see water, they can say when it's water. When they see sun, they can see it's the sun. And when they see nonsense, like what's happening here in the United States with these drug laws, that they're basically taking away all of our rights, throwing everybody in prison, and trying to do it through pressures through the United Nations and through our money influence and power influences all over the world. We're trying to throw the rest of the world into a giant prison state. We're passing laws and we'll only help countries around the world with our money if they will pass laws against these different drugs. Now, you know, you have your legal drugs and you have your illegal drugs. And if you want to make a lot of money in the stock market, go buy some legal drug stocks. Bush is controlling interest in Eli Lilly, and the son of the CEO was Quayle. And that's where that starts. But basically, what I'm trying to say in a long way is that people that are listening out there, that are smart enough to be listening out there, and part of your audience, have got to start becoming more self-reliant and not believing what they listen to on the media, not believe in anything, even anything I say. Go out and find out for themselves.
Well, it's called critical thinking.
And try and change things.
Sure. Well, you got to start with that person in the mirror, too.
And, that's right. And where they don't get you under control in one area, they'll get you in control in another. You know,
it is overwhelming, the intricacy.
Well, it's like the audacity of seeing the caduceus in our, along our highways or in our dollar sign or in the barber pole. But if all you have to do is look at the dollar bill and you see pyramids with 13 levels and you see all kinds of things on the dot, like an owl. You see all this stuff on there, and what the heck does that have to do with early American history?
Here's a question.
Come on, let's wake up and smell the daisies. I mean, what was the knowledge of Egyptology at the time of the forming of our Americas? And another thing that occurs to me too, you know, all of the so-called the patriots and the militias. Mm-hmm. George Washington and Benjamin Franklin, they used to be terrorists. They used to be terrorists. They worked against the government, and they started this thing called the militia. And there are hundreds of militias all over the United States. There's a militia group in Pennsylvania that's all blacks. There's a militia group in Alaska that's all policemen.
Yeah.
There's out of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of militias formed around the United States, there's probably two of them, they're white supremacists.
It's true. It's amazing how that word...
You know, the government discrediting the people.
Yeah, well, it's amazing how that word patriot got turned into a real dirty word real quick. Okay, be right back and take your calls, 1-888 on radio, and get to some email messages as we continue. Okay, we are back. Let's see. Questions. People want to know questions. Let me try and grab one for us here.
The only stupid question is the question that isn't asked.
Well, or asked in jest. If it's asked seriously, it's all legit.
Yeah, it's...
Regarding
I was thinking about how actually I got into this symbolism. I originally got into it because I was studying, I was selling a magnificent collection of jades from China.
Mm-hmm.
But that got me started on symbolism. But really what got me started after that was the study of the Tarot. Now, Tarot means royal road. Or the roto,
Did that have anything to do with roto tilling?
Yeah, and it's the yellow brick road. You know, the Wizard of Oz was written by a high degree Freemason, and basically it's the story of self-realization. You go running around this little golden road, which is the Satsuma, or the middle pillar of the caduceus. And then you get up to Oz, and you say, Oz, you know, can you take care of this? And he says, no, you actually can take care of it yourself. And you say, I can. He says, just click your heels together three times, and you'll have anything you want. So basically, it's self-realization. The Tarot is a story of our own sort of liberation, what they call liberation, the rising up through the Kundalini, our ability. People that come and listen to your show are not normal. They've gone up that caduceus a bit. They're starting to realize, there are options. There are other things. There are UFOs. There are things that I can't normally talk about with my friends. So you go up to these levels of realization. And basically, in the Tarot, we are all the fool. We're all. If you're familiar with the Tarot at all,
I've seen it.
The fool card
is
where you're stepping off the cliff. And we all step off the cliff as a symbol of we're going off into life, into a new adventure. And the adventure that we have is in between each and every one of the Tarot cards. Now the Paul Foster Case deck and the Arthur Edward Waite deck and the Crowley, Aleister Crowley deck were all written by 33rd degree Freemasons, and those are all the top decks that are in existence. 70% of the people that study the Tarot, there are over 3,000 decks, which I have in my library.
There are 3,000 different decks of Tarot?
Yeah, I have over 3,000 decks in my own personal library.
You're kidding.
One of the largest collections in the world. And
the Aleister Crowley deck?
Pardon me?
Aleister Crowley lives. He's got his own deck.
Oh, yeah. Huh. Yeah, basically, he was a high-degree Freemason,
right.
And he was, you know, it was in, and then off of his deck and Arthur Edward Waite's deck came Paul Foster Case, and Paul Foster Case's book on the Tarot, I think, is the best one that you can get.
I had heard that from someone.
The Tarot.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the head of the Golden Dawn in North America. And, you know, all this is belief systems and magic and all that stuff, all of which I study, but I'm not a member of any one of them. None of them. So I can objectively look at each one of these and see how they all tangle together and how they originate. It's all, you know, like when you go into a little town out in the middle of Iowa and you see, welcome to Genly Square, Iowa, and the Kiwanis Club, the Rotary Club,
sure.
The YMCA, and...
the church symbols.
Yeah. And a few church symbols, you know, basically that's all Freemasonry. And they all worship those symbols. So they'll never take away the symbols from us, because
okay.
That would take away them.
It would. That's
yeah.
Part of the artifice. Let's...
So the Tarot, basically what the Tarot does... is it puts out the story before the common man. The best way to hide something is right in front of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so they make it into the common playing cards. So the common playing cards, and you had another guest on your show that couldn't answer this question. What are the origin of the four suits of the playing cards? You know, you've got Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and Mother Mary, okay? So in the playing cards, you have the clubs, the spades, the hearts, those are all male symbols from the phallus. And you have the diamond symbol, which is the lozenge symbol, which is a symbol of the female, the entranceway,
uh-huh.
The doorway that we all pass through to become alive. So that's what they call the Trinity, the three male symbols, and with the four it's called the quaternary. So that's the origin of the four suits of the playing cards. And the Tarot is nothing to do with future reading at all.
How has that become corrupted then, just by hucksters?
It hasn't been corrupted. It's the way that it was meant to be. It's like pearls before swine. Say, for instance, the best way to hide something is just make it into a game and make it popular, like the game of chess,
mm-hmm.
which is very metaphysical, mm-hmm. and make it popular so that it will never be lost. It'll always be there. Somebody will always have a deck of cards. If the world is destroyed by whatever, you know, if there's a few people left, one of them's going to have a deck of cards.
They'll be playing cards.
Right. And so this is how they keep the history of our liberation, of our philosophy alive, is in things that are made common in front of us. You know, a good example of that is every king had a court jester. And the court jester was so he could tell the king to go take a flying leap. And the king had to put up with it. And the reason for the court jester was just to remind the king that there are people out there. And if he pushes them too hard, they're going to get their heads chopped off. And so I think that President Clinton needs a court jester to remind him that the people out here can at any time get tired of this nonsense, everybody being thrown in jail, and yet we're running around the world telling everybody else how to be good.
Would that it were just William Jefferson Clinton that were accountable for all of this mess.
No, it's a symbolic gesture.
Of course. www.lavazone, LAVAZONE, lavazone2, just the number 2.com. /J. Gill, G-I-L-L. It's Joseph's website. We're going to take your calls. Thanks for being patient as we continue in just a couple minutes. Okay, Joseph Gill, the guest, and let us go to the telephones and say hello to Bonnie, who has been patiently waiting. She is listening to us on K-O-T-K. Hi, you there, Bonnie in Portland.
Jeff, could you hear me?
I do.
Okay. You have a very interesting guest tonight.
Yes, he's excellent.
And he keeps going to different subjects, and I keep coming up with something about it.
Well, we can back up a bit if you need to. What do you want to ask?
I was wondering if he has read the book, The Red Cocaine and the Drugging of America and When It Started, by Joseph Douglas.
I haven't read that.
Huh?
But I will recommend a book called Dope Incorporated.
That's a classic.
I'm telling you, if it's got to be said, it's said in that book. Now, I'm sure your book is probably going to be very interesting too. But
I can't hardly hear him.
But that book, I don't know about your book, but I do know about Dope Incorporated. And basically, you know, you've got your legal drugs and you've got your illegal drugs. And to make a legal drug, you've got to have at least $250 million to get it through the FDA. So you know that the people that are going to be putting through illegal drugs and making other drugs illegal are the ones that are in control. And the one, you know, William Randolph Hearst was, of course, he had so many trees he didn't know what to do with. He was in the mining business, and he got into the tree business with the Weyerhaeuser family. And, you know, you've heard about the Hearst Castle up there. But he got into the newspaper business because he was grinding up all these trees. And, you know, it just gets very complex.
All right.
You know what book I'd recommend? The Emperor Wears No Clothes.
I've heard of it. I haven't read it.
Is the one you want to get. Because
could I read a couple of paragraphs from this from the cover of this book?
All right. Make it pronto, if you can.
Okay, it says, Red Cocaine presents an abundance of evidence tying Communist China, the Soviet Union, and their surrogates into international narcotic trafficking. This myth-shattering work includes testimony from high-level defectors, including one who received his orders direct from the Soviet Defense Council, confirming that the Communists established drug trafficking networks to create income for themselves and to sow the seeds of self-destruction among their opponents.
Who do you think paid for the Bolshevik Revolution?
Drugs.
Where do you think Trotsky came from? Trotsky came from New York City. Most of those people came from New York City. Wall Street supported the whole Bolshevik Revolution. It's the bullshit revolution. Excuse me, the Bolshevik Revolution.
Uh-huh.
And the thing is if you read anything about, 51% of the Federal Reserve is owned by the Bank of England.
Okay. Yes,
follow
absolutely.
Follow the money. That was told to me by Philip Rothschild when I was with Sotheby's. And I was in London, and he told me that. You will not read that.
I've read their books.
But 51% of the Federal Reserve is owned by the Bank of England. And how did the royalty make their money?
Drugs.
The East India Tea Company. Yes. It was by forcing opium on the Chinese.
Yeah. How many Chinese did they destroy with that charade?
They went in and said, we'll either blow up your harbor or we'll sell you dope. And you know, there's a story, and it's called, there was an old man of the mountain. It's right in the Tyrell, called the Old Man of the Mountain. In 920, there was an old man that went up to the top of a mountain, a monastery in Persia. And he started what's called the Assassins of the Tuggies, which was an early Freemasonic group. And he talked these young men into taking opium and taking these drugs and going off and teaching them the way to assassinate. And they went off and they assassinated for the heads of Europe and the rich people around the Western world and the Eastern world as well. And they were worshippers of Kali, which is the wife of Shiva. And
speak right up, Joseph.
So basically, this old man of the mountain, which is represented by the hermit holding a light at the top of the hill, he had these young men go off and kill and then kill themselves, and then they would go to the land of milk and honey where they would ever be surrounded by beautiful women and gorgeous gardens and all that stuff forever.
Mm-hmm.
There was a lot of tripe. So the British went in there and broke up the old man of the mountain in about the 1700s, and of course they adopted it themselves. And the CIA and the different secret services on the different countries all grabbed those methods of using drugs to control people. And that's very often you see some lone gunman will go into a bus depot or a restaurant or somewhere else and shoot everybody and then shoot himself. And all that is that's just the same formula exactly as the assassins. And then within a month, you'll see all kinds of gun regulations going through.
Yeah, well, that's another reason why there are so many people in prison for trying to grow their own drugs, because it's interfering with the revenue stream, shall we say, the potential.
Well, when you study the chemistry of the potato or the tomato, or the celery, or anything else, they're all nothing but chemicals. And so we call them drugs. You know, that's sort of
it's a nasty, dirty
word. But drugs and chemicals are the same damn thing. And everything that's organic is made of organic chemistry.
And sure is.
Yeah.
So, Bonnie, we got to go. Bonnie, thank you for calling.
Okay.
We have a bunch of calls. Thanks very much. I want to get as many as I can in to
thank
talk
you, Bonnie.
To Joseph Gill. Thank you, dear. Down to Little Rock, the great state of Arkansas, on KSYG is Mark. Hello, Mark.
Oh, how you doing, Jeff?
Good, thank
Joseph.
You.
Hello, Mark.
Go right ahead.
Okay, I just wanted to ask a question. You were talking about architecture earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I was wondering if you could recommend a book. I would like to see a book on architecture, on building a house, you know, maybe into the ground, using the materials that are available and making it strong.
An underground house, perhaps? Something like that.
You
know what they're making now? They have these, what's the name of it? Doggone it. They're concrete dome houses. And they'll last for hundreds and hundreds of years. They're very inexpensive to build. And I can't remember the name of it. Look under concrete dome houses on if you're on the Internet.
Cement is the cheapest thing you can buy.
They're amazing.
What you do is you just build an inner dome.
They're doing it with a balloon now. They're doing
the cement in between.
They're actually inflating like a bladder, and then making the basic shell like that, and putting in the rebar and shooting it with concrete. And boy,
probably like gunite.
Exactly, it's forever. I'll see if I can figure out the name of the company, and somebody will email me. It's in Texas, and it's a very common. It's a concrete dome house. They've made high schools, storage warehouses with them and everything. It's quite remarkable. Anything to add to that, Mark?
No, but I heard him talking about people that call your show that are... My deal is, you know, if you don't worry about it, if people think you're nutty or crazy, then you're not, so...
Well, anybody who calls here doesn't have to worry about being ostracized.
I don't worry about anyone.
Well, you know, far as your building goes, I would also ask you to look into your environment and see
I'd like to use the materials that are here. There's a lot of good rock.
Right, that's where it's at. You use the materials that are right on your near your property.
Good resonance, good energy. And we're going to take our break now. And think about a recommendation for a book on architecture, Joseph, as we take this pause. Be right back. Okay, we're back, and Nick is on the line listening to us on KRKO out of Everett, Washington. Okay, Nick, your question for Joseph, please.
Well, I sure enjoy listening to the two of you. I want to go back to the marijuana issue.
All right.
You need to speak up.
We can't. Nick, crank up your volume there.
Okay, can you hear me now?
If you double that, we're there.
Okay, how's that?
Better.
Okay.
Barely.
The marijuana issue?
Yeah.
Lamont DuPont. The munitions maker, right?
Okay.
You need mercury to make munitions.
Uh-oh. I knew there was mercury in here somewhere.
Yeah, if I'm calling, there is. Okay, if you want to synthesize paper instead of using hemp,
yeah,
you need mercury. You know how much mercury you need for one pulp and paper mill? A flask of mercury is 76 pounds of mercury, okay?
All right.
It takes 7,600 flasks. They lost 1 million pounds of mercury into the Columbia River sitting up one of the first plants.
Wow.
If you want plastic...
Out of Camas, Washington.
Yeah, if you want
right,
plastic...
Right, I used to live there in Vancouver, Washington. I know about how much it stinks.
Yeah, well, what I'm saying is that this country and all of the diseases are a mass massive misdiagnosis of mercury poisoning because of the synthesizing of trying to synthesize hemp and marijuana.
Well, if it isn't that, it's fluoride.
No, it's way worse, and I'll tell you why.
Well, you know, how can you get worse than rat poison?
Because you're all electric, right? What does mercury do better than anything? Conducts electricity.
That's why people can pick up radio stations with mercury fillings sometimes, yeah.
Right, but what I'm saying is it disconnects the heart and the soul. It warps the brain. When you look at George Bush and the people in power, Newt Gingrich, his dedicated heart to blowing out the upper ionosphere, the few who are poisoned with mercury control the millions.
Well, aren't the millions poisoned with mercury?
Right, and they go along with the poison.
All right, well, that's very interesting.
No, I think that what you're saying is true, and I think what you're saying is a lot of bunk.
Why?
Because when you, say for instance, your listener, you're sitting in an audience out there, okay?
Right.
And there is 10,000 people sitting out in this audience.
With mercury fillings.
Yeah. And one person is standing up at the podium and he's saying, I'm going to control you. I'm going to bury you in mercury. I'm going to bury you in fluoride. I'm going to put you guys in jail. I'm going to make everything that you enjoy illegal. And how many of you people out there listening tonight are going to get up out of that crowd and yell, let's get that guy on the podium. We don't need to have that around here. And those are the odds that we're dealing with. You're telling me with your question that these huge masses of people are being controlled by of less than 1%. And poor us, we just are picked on and deprived. Well, what I'd say is get off your ass, and if there's enough of you, you know, less than 3% of the people in America fought in the American Revolution.
You want
and
to talk to the guy?
We need to get up and
they were
do
all
something about it.
Talk
we got
to
quit
the guy
talking
sitting
about
in federal
it.
Prison tonight for an eighth of an ounce of marijuana, a quadriplegic with 96 years and no parole.
And what'd you do
you
about it?
Want to talk about Barry McCaffrey?
Wait a minute. What did you do about it?
Iron all over the United States to kill all the marijuana.
What did you do about it?
What do I do about it?
Yeah.
I'm on the phone telling you about it.
No. Did you go down there and stand up in front with a picket sign saying we're not going to take it anymore? This is ridiculous?
Yeah.
I mean, the emperor's wearing no clothes. If they decided they were going to outlaw the potato because they make vodka out of it, it wouldn't be anywhere near the amount of effect that it has on us to outlaw hemp because some people smoke it.
Barry McCaffrey is the top corporate cock. He would, if you allowed marijuana to come back, you'd have no corporations.
What?
Where does your medicine come from?
Poison. Well, of course, I know what he's saying, Jeff.
Right.
It's basically all the paper. There's a house that I saw in Paris that was built in the 1100s that was as nice as the day that it was made. And
uh-huh.
It was made with hemp and lime that mixed together into the hardest thing you ever could imagine.
Well, there are hemp licenses right now granted to farmers to grow hemp in this country.
Very few.
And they're,
it's
but
only
they're
been
there.
Because enough people have stood up and demanded
right.
it. But basically, much of our hemp has come up to right till recently, either from China or from China through Mexico.
Well, it's true.
But my only point is...
All right, last point, Nick.
Well, I'm just saying that all of your water is poisoned with mercury. All of your air is poisoned with mercury. The AMA is the largest polluter of mercury vapor on the planet other
okay.
than the military.
All right, Nick, thank you. And we appreciate the data. Nick, for those of you who may be new to the program, is Mr. Mercury Awareness, and he is into it. And whatever he can relate it to, and there are connections, he will. So we appreciate that.
I respect what he's saying.
No, we appreciate
that. It's time for the masses to quit whining and whimpering and stand up and say, look, you know, this is the end of this. This is ridiculous.
Yeah, it is 10,000
ridiculous. 10,000 of us and one of you, and the idea of you running our life is ridiculous.
Well, it is, but it's,
it is.
It's the
like,
oldest
it's
game.
Like it, the emperor wears no clothes.
It's that's right. It's the oldest game there is. All right. By the way, I got the website address for those concrete dome homes, which may not be the most beautiful things in the world, but they are natural. They'll last forever. It's Monolithic Dome. That's MonolithicDome, Monolithic Dome, one word, .com. And just check it out. It's interesting. And they're reasonable, and they're kind of silly looking, but they They won't blow over in a hurricane. That's another nice thing about them. All right.
Yeah, I have a couple of comments about that, too. If you know, I built my own home here, and it came out quite well. But I would build something that would fit in with the environment. And if you're in a group of houses that all look the same, you better build a house that looks like them, because otherwise you'll stick out like a sore thumb.
All right.
That will fit into the, you know, if you're in a forest.
It's true.
Like, but there is a book that I can recommend that's interesting. It's called The Art and Architecture of Freemasonry by James Curl, C-U-R-L. And it talks a lot about Freemasonry in symbolism in our architecture, which is basically, you know, the Freemasons came from Masons who went around Europe, and they built the Taj Mahal. There's Masonic symbols on the Taj Mahal, which I've personally seen.
They've anything on the Great Wall?
Structure around the world, major structure.
Were they in on the Great Wall of China? That predated them, didn't it?
No. No, I tell you this, that I'd be willing to put my house on the line right now. Anybody can prove to me that the Great Wall of China wasn't built by some influence of the Freemasons.
Fascinating.
Because the Freemasons are in every town. Can you imagine town, not city, but every town in the world has a group of Freemasons. And that doesn't make it bad or good. It's just the way it is. Every town you go into in India, every town you go into in Upper China, or in any country in the world. I've been to over 68 countries. I've traveled extensively, and I have never found a town yet that didn't have a Freemasonic lodge of some kind.
Yeah. All right. We only have a couple minutes.
Our architecture. I mean, they build things.
Okay. The author's name is James Curl, C-U-R-L. Just look up Curl.
Yeah, and it's
Curl.
An expensive book, so you could either buy it or you can get it through an interlibrary loan. You can go to your local library and order it, and they will get it from their library or someone else
through
mail.
All right, about 2 minutes left. Real quickly, Josh on the phone, and I'm not sure where Josh is calling from, but go ahead, Josh.
Yes, hello. I'm calling from Santa Barbara, California.
On AM 990.
KQSB 990.
Now, it's now KTMS.
Oh, that's right. They have just changed that.
Yes. Welcome.
Thank you. Anyway, I have a couple just quick points I'd like to make. First of all, your guest stated earlier that next to the United States, the country with the highest rate of incarceration per capita was, I don't know if he said England or Great Britain.
Great Britain.
And he said the rate was 70.
70 so, per 100,000.
Yeah, per 100,000.
That's right. Anyway. That's right from the Harvard Magazine.
Well, I have to disagree with you in that I've got statistics here that I'm printing up right now showing higher rates of incarceration for quite a few other countries, South Africa, Singapore, Hong Kong, and even developed countries such as New Zealand.
Per 100,000 rates?
Yes, per 100,000, and he had said 700 for the U.S. Incarceration rate. It is 645.
That's of as last July.
Yeah, last July.
Last July, nonetheless. Gone up since,
nonetheless.
And to 700.
Okay. Go ahead, Joe.
Nonetheless, there are many other countries, even developed countries, that have significantly higher rates of incarceration than England. And
so you're saying they're not number two behind us?
No, they're not number two.
Okay.
Not by a long shot.
All right. Well, this
I
list...
think that when you realize that your guest is making these sort of assertions, and
no,
they
no,
go
I'm
basically in question,
I read this
question.
All right, hold on, gentlemen. He's pulling this material from the Harvard Magazine, so the gripe needs to go to the magazine.
It doesn't make it right, but it's, you know, I thought it was a decent source.
Yeah.
Well,
all right.
Okay. I don't have Harvard Magazine in front of me. I'm not familiar with Harvard Magazine. I don't know that the name, because it's called Harvard Magazine,
it does come from Harvard.
That it's published.
It is published by Harvard. I used to teach there.
What's the incarceration rate for South Africa then?
Well, I'll tell you this: that the number of black people that are incarcerated in the United States is approximately 4 times per capita than it ever was at its worst rate.
I don't know. I'll have to tell you. I generally agree with you, and I think that the drug war is a very big problem. And
sure.
It's causing a lot of an explosion in incarceration, especially in federal prison, for ultimately petty offenses in many
cases. Josh, we are out of time. I'm very sorry. We'll have Joseph back again and invite you to call, and we'll continue this discussion. But I did want to have a moment to say a proper good night to everyone. And to all of you who have called, thank you. Those of you who have emailed questions, dozens. Thank you very much. Sorry we didn't have time, but we'll do this again. Joseph, thanks.
Thank you very much, and my best to your audience.
Okay.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you. Good night. All right, that's it. And one more time, Joseph's website is 3Ws.LavaZone, LAVAZONE, number two, just put number two there, .com /J Gill. And as the music comes up, we will wrap up another week. 6 days of sightings already. Tomorrow's Saturday, a day off, and hope all of you enjoy it. Thanks for choosing to spend your evening here with us, and we'll talk to you Sunday night when I have a chance to spend some time with Tim Rifat. He is one of the foremost experts on remote viewing and some strange events going on in that world. He is in Great Britain. We'll be calling him direct to England on Sunday for you, 3 hours. So until then, good night, stay well, have a great weekend, and as always, good luck.